Time and Tide, written by Edna O'Brien and read by Lara Hutchinson.
To John and Suzanne Mados, my staunch friends. Pour your eternal dreams, samples of blood, from one glass to another. Osip Mandelstam, translated by James Green. The spider spins her web on dark days. Proverb. Prologue. Do you believe her? She said. Once said, it cannot be unsaid. That is the thing with words. You cannot wash them and wipe them the way you wipe dishes, which was what she was doing, merely to cancel out the brutality of what she had just said. Four words. Four treacheries. He said nothing, his anger taking a great inner lurch, and then he walked out of the kitchen, leaving the tap running. At least from now on, when she came to turn it on or off, the handle would yield to her grasp. How many times over the years had she marvelled at his strength and his brother's strength? Children. Her children possessed of a power and a determination that she had never mastered. Now the breach. Not long ago, by chance, she had read something that was a premonition of this. Read it in a doctor's waiting room and copied it out slowly, methodically, so that it spoke itself back to her in her long kitchen, which looked like the deck of a liner, the floor a bleached blue with pale blue walls to match. Now they were both gone. Paddy to his watery rest, and Tristan about to set out for Penny's top floor flat, with its cushions and its empty birdcage suspended on a long, plaited golden cord. She had gone there once, and was coldly received. So coldly that she took in every feature of the room, even the missing bars of the cage in which Penny kept her toiletries, brush and comb, bottles of deepest blue reliquaries of what? She could imagine Tristan arriving with his luggage, maybe even carrying a can of beer, making light of his sudden but irreversible appearance, and Penny's secret whoops of victory, that she had won out over that all-important hovering creature, the mother. Between mothers and would-be mothers, this great chasm. In the morning of life, the son tears himself loose from the mother, from the domestic hearth, to rise through battles to his destined heights. Always, he imagines his worst enemy in front of him. Yet he carries the enemy within himself, a deadly longing for the abyss, a longing to drown in his own source, to be sucked down into the realm of the mother's. It spoke itself in the long blue kitchen with the sun marching in elongated slants, their fat shadows beside them, and the creeper coming through both window and window frame, so that the effect was of an indoor garden. Yes, the grave words fell on each little thing. The drawers half open, where she or maybe even Tristan had taken out a knife, a wooden spoon, or a clean tea cloth. She never did close drawers fully. Her husband had castigated her about that, said it was manifest of the same dithering as when she walked down the street and showed a deficient character by her cowardly back. What could she do now to retrieve things?